I want to begin this talk, first of all, by acknowledging the team of individuals who helped put this work together. As I step through this talk, you'll see that there's some pretty painstaking and labor-intensive work that went on, and these three individuals made this work possible. Delaine Caseman, a student at the University of Arizona. Wolfia Gronenberg, who many of you know, is a neurobiologist in the Department of Neurobiology at University of Arizona. And Tiffany Lucas, who just finished up her master's with me. And these three people really did the brunt of this work, and I want to acknowledge them for this. We, of course, have Africanized honeybees in Arizona, and so it really lends itself to do these comparative tests, looking at differences in the biology and physiology and foraging behavior is what we looked at this time between African and European bees. Looking at how things like brain volume and associative learning might affect this. But if we do a quick overview of the literature on foraging behavior, some of the noted differences. Am I done already?
I'm afraid so.
Okay, well, I knew I should have done a poster. All right, so the African foragers have a greater tendency to collect pollen and rear brood compared to European honeybees. And the Europeans also recruit proportionately larger foraging populations, and they, of course, they hoard honey. I mean, that's why there's a honey industry in the United States. Africanized bees more readily convert their food to brood, and so there's a greater tendency for them to swarm. And this is a real difference. During times of abundant resources, European honeybees are going to hoard more honey and colonies of equal size between Africans and Europeans. The Europeans are going to produce more honey. But during times where resources are more constrained, the African bees will be able to find those resources and put away surplus honey at a higher volume than the European colonies. And working with European bees, I've seen this over and over again. Well, what our research question was, as I mentioned before, is are there underlying differences between European and African bees that might be expressed in their brain size and their associative learning ability that might explain these behavioral differences in foraging behavior? So to go over our experimental design, this talk really has two parts to it, the first being the analysis of brain anatomy and the second being the analysis of associative learning capacity. So first of all, we captured foraging bees coming back to the hive, dissected their brains, and then measured brain regions. And we collected, we used 10 individuals each of Europeans and Africans. We collected many more than that, but a lot can go wrong in brain dissections and you know, doing these measurements. So we took our 10 best of the Europeans and the Africans. Then we tested for associative learning using individuals from three colonies of Europeans and three of African bees. We took bees and emerged them in cages, aged them, marked them, and then aged them. And at 14 days old, we tested them for associative learning. And then we also took a same group, or a colony group from the same colony that were foragers. And we did comparisons between these two. Okay, to start with, this is one of our, needless to say, our best brain prep that I'm showing you here. And what you're seeing is the bee is actually looking out at you here. These are the antennal lobes here. You can read this, I don't know if in the back. These are the optic lobes. These are the mushroom body lobes and the calyx of the mushroom body here. And the medulla of the optic lobes is up in here, I believe. I thought I put that on there. All right. So in the comparison of the brain regions, what we found, of course, was that African bees were smaller than European bees. So the first thing we had to do was to correct for the weight differences. When we did that correction and looked at the volume of the body that is composed of brain material, there's no difference in Africans and Europeans. And there's also no difference in these various regions, the central body, the antennal lobes, calyx, but in the lobes of the mushroom bodies. There were significant differences. The Europeans had a proportionately greater volume devoted to that area. There was no difference in the other areas of the brain. The second part of this now is has to do with associative learning. Well, what is associative learning for those of you that this may be new? I'm sure most of you already know, but it's the ability to connect, in this case, an odor with a reward. And associative learning is really a basis of forging and recruitment in a honeybee colony, where a returning scout bee will come back from the hive, or come back from the field into the hive, and she'll have the odor of the flowers that she's been visiting. And bees that greet her at the door or are part of her recruits will have trophallactic interactions with her. And so there's that first connection between an odor and a reward. Well, you can test a bee's ability for associative learning using this proboscis extension response. And that's what we used to look to see if there were differences between African and European bees in their ability to for associative learning. So what we did was we first took these bees, whether they're 14-day-old bees or foragers, and fed them, put this drop of sugar syrup onto their antenna, and then they put out their proboscis, and we fed them, and we did this several times. It's a 40% solution of sugar solution. And then in the second step, we took the individuals and we blew a stream of geraniol odor over their antenna and then fed them. And so we were more or less in the conditioning stage now. And we waited then 20 minutes after several bouts of this odor-reward pairing. We then took the bees and exposed them to just the odor to see if they would extend their proboscis, and that was a display of associative learning. And we did six bouts of odor when they put the proboscis out. We fed them, so we reinforced that behavior. And we did six of those trials with 10 minutes in between. Well, the first group that fell out of this procedure were non-learners, bees that would respond to the sugar syrup when we put it to their antenna, but they weren't able to associate sucrose reward with the odor. And so if we look at the Africans and the Europeans, just the 14-day-olds and the foragers, in Europeans there was no difference in the group of non-learners. But in the Africans, we had more 14-day-old bees that were non-learners than the foragers. In comparisons between Africans and European bees, again, the Africans had a significantly higher proportion of bees that were non-learners in the 14-day-olds. In the foragers, there was no difference. I suspect that those who could not associate odor and reward never became foragers. Now, if we look at the responses for the six odor pairings, and these data were analyzed using a G-test for goodness of fit, what we found was, first of all, responses from the Europeans and the Africans looking at differences between 14-day-olds and foragers. The response rate in the Europeans was not different between these two groups. 14-day-old bees responded at similar rates as their foragers. But in the Africans, we got, for the first two presentations, significantly higher responses for the 14-day-old bees than the foragers. And it took till the third response before foragers began to respond at rates that were comparable to the 14-day-old workers. If you look at the responses of those two groups, 14-day-old bees and foragers, and compare Africans and Europeans, I see for 14-day-old workers, for the first two presentations, Europeans and Africans are not different. As we go into the third and fourth, though, we had more responding bees than the Europeans. And then as we go out to the sixth presentation, the Africans were responding. It was a slightly higher rate. It was significant, but it's only slight. Whoop. But in the foragers, there's an interesting thing that went on here, in that the Europeans responded at a higher rate for the first three odor-reward pairings than the Africans did. It took till the fourth presentation of an odor-reward before the Africans began to respond at rates that were similar to the Europeans. And then they persisted longer, if you see out here, to the sixth odor and reward pairing, then the Africans were actually responding at higher rates. So what do our findings mean? How do we pull these two pieces together? The first is that a greater proportion of the brain comprises the mushroom body lobes in the European bees compared with the Africans, and a higher proportion of the Europeans learned to associate odor and reward. The mushroom bodies play a role in odor learning and memory formation, and so there may be a connection between the two, that is the size of the mushroom body lobes and the capacity for associative learning. The second part is that more of the associative learning part of this study, that more 14-day-old Africans responded to odor and reward than the foragers, indicating that there was a shift in this expression of this behavior. If you remember, the foragers didn't begin to respond at the same rate as the 14-day-old bees until the fourth odor-reward pairing. A possible explanation for this shift is the differences in how odor and likelihood of reward are interpreted between house bees, 14-day-old bees, possibly house bees, and the field bees, the foragers. In the hive, floral odors emanate from returning foragers. There is a consistency between odor and reward, and trophallactic interactions occur. But in the field, flowers can have odors and not give out rewards. And so with foraging experience, there seemed to be a greater number of odor and reward pairings that needed to occur before those foragers made an association between the two. I'm going to go through this very quickly because I'm out of time, right? Okay. Let me just tell you where all this is going and then I'll sit down. In the future, what we want to do is repeat these studies with additional colonies, look at the relationship between associative learning and brain morphology using the same individuals. We didn't do that in this study, and that was certainly a weakness in it. And once we have good baseline data on the differences in associative learning between Africans and Europeans, we want to see if this can be manipulated by things like stress and nutrition. Thank you very much.
One question.
Yes.
Did you do any of your steps taking off the spontaneous responders? I thought you had a lot of responders.
Yes, we took out the spontaneous responders too. Yes. 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 Yeah, those non-learners and spontaneous responders were the two groups that we took out in the first screening. Why did we? I'd have to ask Wolfie why he wanted to do 10 minutes. I don't know myself.
That's the appropriate spacing.
Okay, that's the appropriate spacing. There you go. Okay. That's why I showed those pictures of those people in the beginning.
Thank you.